Royals announcer Rex Hudler infuriates and delights baseball fans with his Hudlerisms.
Well, it's a beautiful planet. Well, it's a moon.
That looks like a planet to me.
Yeah.
But Hudler should know baseball after playing for six teams and every position except pitcher and catcher. I'm Brian Ellison. Today on Central Standard, we want to know what it's like to work with the best and what it's like to leave that world. We catch up with a couple of former pro baseball players to hear how their experiences on the field have influenced their lives. It's coming up after the news.
It's spring in Florida and spring training in Vero Beach, where the Brooklyn Dodgers are getting in shape for a crack at a third straight pennant. Big Don Newcomb looks to another big year on the mound, and Carl Erskine hopes for bigger and better things. The pitching looks good, what with Sal Magley retaining his mastery and added help from Fred Kipp up from Montreal.
Did you catch that last name? Fred Kipp. He was a pitcher for both the Brooklyn and the Los Angeles Dodgers in the late 1950s. Just last month, the Dodgers invited him back at the age of 83 to throw out the first pitch at a game.
Take it away, Mr. Kipp.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
Fred Kipp's roots were in Kansas, and he returned to Kansas City after his stint in the major leagues. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Gina Kaufman, and on today's Central Standard, we catch up with a couple of former pro baseball players and hear how their time in the big leagues has influenced the rest of their lives. Fred Kipp is here with us. He lives in Overland Park now, but he played four seasons in the majors from 1957 to 1960 with the Dodgers and also the Yankees. Fred, welcome to you.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. And also joining us is none other than Rex Hudler. You know him as the color guy for the Kansas City Royals broadcasts on Fox Sports Kansas City, but you might also know he played 13 seasons for a bunch of teams in the majors, retired in 1998. Rex, it's good to have you here.
Thrilled to be here with you, Brian, and also Fred.
Yeah,
Fred's pumping me up.
I have to say, our guests, you know, they arrive a little before the show. We sometimes watch them talk to each other in the green room, and this was one of the best conversations I've ever seen. At one point, Rex pulled a baseball out of his pocket and handed it to Fred and asked him to show him how he pitched his curveball. So I'm looking forward to today's conversation. And Fred, let's talk about you first here. You joined the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1957. Growing up, you thought you had a future in sports other than baseball, right?
Well, it was 1956 was the first year at the Dodgers.
My bad.
I started in 53 in the minor leagues for the Dodgers.
And before that, did you always think you were going to play baseball?
I had chances when I was 17 years old to play pro ball, but I went to K-State on basketball scholarship.
Huh.
And you probably know this name. The freshman coach was Tex Winters.
Tex Winters was your freshman basketball coach.
1949.
And so how did you make your way from the college basketball team onto baseball?
Well, we played baseball in my hometown all my life. And
which was what town?
Pickway, Kansas.
Pickway.
And I stayed at K-State a semester, and then I transferred to Emporia State. And I could play both basketball and baseball there. If I'd have stayed at K-State, I was on basketball scholarship, I wouldn't have been able to.
Did you always think you're going to end up as a professional athlete of some kind or other?
Well, I wasn't good enough in basketball, face it. I was pretty good size in those days. When I started college, I was a real stud, 155 pounds, 6'4". But I slowly got up. I played most of my career about 195.
Yeah.
200 pounds.
And when you finally did make the move, how does that happen? How do you get into the minor leagues? How do you start playing pro ball?
Well, I had a few chances to I went to a tryout camp for the Giants, and they offered me a contract, but I went ahead and went to college. But I rode the train from Emporia, Kansas to Vero Beach in my senior year. 40 hours.
Wow.
40 hours on the train, 40 hours back, and I was in Vero Beach. I had a big FA on my uniform, free agent.
Okay.
I think probably I'm the only guy that ever made the big leagues that was on that was had that thing on there. there was all kinds of talent come down there as free agents. Some of them not so good, some of them pretty good. But hey, I think a lot of them got a trip down there and it was for a spring break. They didn't have actual spring breaks in college. It was more Easter break.
Okay. So you made the team.
Yeah, I signed. If I remember right, I got $500 and $1,500 in 90 days. And I signed. They didn't even give it to me. I went back to college. I got back to college. It's kind of how it run then. I told them, I'm going to graduate, then I'm going to join you wherever you're going to send me. And 2 weeks after I got back to college, it said, report immediately to such and such. And I've wired them back, and it was understood that I was going to graduate. That's how they treated players, and they just run them through the mill. There was 500 ball players at least down there when I was trying out.
Wow. And it sounds like that's a little different these days, the way players are treated, huh?
Yeah, the big league clubs in the minor leagues, they got a half a dozen prospects, left-handed pitchers. The Dodgers probably had 50.
Wow. So you finally went to the Dodgers. You worked your way up through the system. You played all over the country. Actually, you played all over the world, didn't you?
Three continents. Against the best and with the best.
You played in Japan.
I played through there with the Dodgers.
Okay.
In the fall of 56. They had won the pennant in 55. That's how they did it. Then they played the team that won the World Series played a series through there the next year.
Oh, okay. So you got to see the world a little bit.
Yes.
And you were with the Dodgers. You made the Major League club about the time they were moving from Brooklyn to L.A.
Yeah, 56, I had my good year, and then they sent me right back out to Montreal. I think I went something like 8-16 or something like that. But strange enough, there wasn't any room for me on the 57 team. All the pitchers were healthy. When they moved to L.A., a bunch of them were hurt and getting old, and they traded some, I guess. I don't know. But I stuck that year in L.A. They gave me a start. I pitched in the Coliseum, which wasn't too good. It was 210-foot left-handed pitcher. I didn't get to pitch a lot at home.
Yeah, yeah.
210-foot, 40-foot high. My first time up, I pinned one off the screen. I mean, that's how easy it was.
Not a great baseball stadium, the Coliseum.
No, but
it's a launching pad.
Yeah.
They gave me a start. I knew if I wouldn't have pitched good, they probably would have sent me out next day. Probably wouldn't have made it the next day, probably that night. But I jerked up a win. There was 60,000 people there in the Coliseum. Stan Musial went 4-for-4, but I won the game. I'll take that every day.
Absolutely.
Every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
What'd you try to throw him? What'd you try to get him out with?
Everything. He hit everything. He didn't hit it hard. That game he didn't hit it hard. But
so he doinked a couple in there.
You could fool him and he'd still get the fat of the bat on the ball. I mean, that's just how good he was.
I understand you played with Jackie Robinson just a couple times.
I did.
And what was that like? What do you remember about that?
One thing I remember about it, in 56, they were in the pennant race. And I think the Cardinals were ahead of them a little bit. I never forget. It was an afternoon. I think it was a Sunday. Robinson come into clubhouse, and he had kind of a high-pitched voice. He said, "They're waiting for us to beat them. They're waiting for us to beat them." I distinctly remember him saying that, and the Dodgers beat him.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting.
Wow. All right. Well, we want to come back to you, Fred, and your story. But, of course, Rex Hudler is here as well. Rex, you had quite an on-field career as well. And like Fred, I understand baseball wasn't your first sport either.
No, I was fortunate that I grew up in a neighborhood, Fresno, California, good athletic town, a lot of sports offered, soccer, baseball, football. I had a chance to play them all. And, you know, maybe like Fred, my favorite sport or my favorite subjects in school were recess and lunch break, PE. Those are my favorite. So I always knew from an early age I wanted to be a professional athlete.
And so you set out to do that from an early age. I mean, that takes a lot of commitment even from a kid to be able to do that.
No question about it. But, you know, it's fun. I mean, when school was out, that's what I did. I went to the park. We had a park not too far, and I had some friends that were there. And so I'd go, and I remember we'd eat at my buddy's house. His mom and dad always had a lot of a big cabinet full of food. So, you know, we'd go over there after school and eat, and then we'd go out and play. Any sport that was in season, we'd make up our own games.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have internet. We didn't have stuff like that to keep us entertained. So I encourage young people now, with all the distractions they have, that, you know, if you want to be a pro player, if you wanted to do something athletically in college, you better work at it.
Right.
You better go home and play it.
Yeah, you got to play.
Yeah, you got to do something. You can't sit around and play a video game and expect you can go to practice and just show up and it's going to happen, because you got to work at it, huh, Fred?
So Rex, how'd you end up getting the call to the pros? Where was the big moment?
Oh, you know, I was a senior in high school. I'd already signed a letter of intent to play football at Notre Dame, catch passes from Joe Montana. Mm. Dan Devine was the coach at Notre Dame. They were national title winners the year before.
They were the superpower.
Oh, it's crazy. I couldn't believe it. You know, I took my 5 college visitations to different schools, and, you know, I was fortunate. I had a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. I had good speed, and I had good hands. I could catch the ball. But, man, he could hit me 60 yards downfield.
Wow.
So I could shake my guy, and I'd get open, and he'd hit me. And so he made me look good, really. That's the whole thing. But it was a blessing to be able to have that opportunity to choose. And then when Dan Devine offered me that scholarship, I said, Coach, man, can I go home and talk to my parents first? But – I sure would love to come to you and be a part of your organization here, your college. And so went home, had 2 months, 3 months. Baseball season came late in the season in high school as the last sport of the year. Played a little bit of baseball, had fun. Saw some scouts showing up. Saw these guys with glasses and dark glasses and caps, and they're all watching. And then my phone was ringing at the house. We didn't have cell phones in, but the phone on the wall was ringing, and my mom would pick it up, and they'd say, you know, the draft's coming up in a week or a couple of weeks. Does your son, does he want to sign? What's his signability? And my mom would say, don't draft him. You'll waste your pick. I'm always going to Notre Dame. So I kept hearing her say that. And then the draft came.
Not your best agent, probably, then.
Well, no, actually, she knew all along she was doing the right thing. She told them, don't draft him. Don't draft him. And so I came home, day of the draft. I walked in the door. I said, Mom, anybody call? She goes, yeah, the damn Yankees drafted you. I went, really? Mom, you know, they won the World Series last year. That's a pretty good team. What'd you tell them? She said, I told them that they wasted their pick. And I go, Mom, you told them that? Ah, yeah, son, they'll call back. Sure enough, a week later, they came. Al Rosen, great third baseman. He's the vice president for the Yankees. They showed up at my door, and at that particular point, my mom sent me off to my favorite pizzeria down the road. She goes, son, go get a pizza. And I was like, really? You're sending me out? Yeah, yeah, go ahead. We don't need you for a little while. So I came back, knocked on my own front door. Door was locked. 30 minutes later, I came back. My mom opens the door, and she goes, congratulations, son. You're a Yankee. So she had played hardball with them and made them get the money up, get the price up. And so I got $150,000 to sign out of high school, Fred.
That's a piece of change.
Yeah.
Wow,
it's
better than $1,500, Fred.
That was, but Fred, in that time, that was George Steinbrenner's top bonus he ever gave a player.
Wow.
So my mom, she negotiated my first contract, and then I went on and said, hey, thanks, and didn't realize that I went from a prospect to a suspect, though, man. Had to grind it out, man. 10 years of minor league ball, Fred, before I got my chance.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, you can. It's so hard. There's so many players out there, aren't there?
There was then.
You better believe, especially but then when you were there, they had 10 different minor league teams. What, A, B, C, D, E, F?
Two double-A teams and some in Portland, 2.5. Yeah, they had lots of ball players. And they did it different then. They just let the guys play and the cream come to the top, and they sold the other ones off or they quit and went home.
You know, listening to you, and I know what I went through my 21 years of playing in pro ball. We're a piece of property. That's all we are. We're a piece of property. We're like cattle. You know, we're owned. We're shipped. We're slaughtered. We're sent out. We're you know, we're all that stuff. You have no control, do you?
No, not really.
So I
should have approached it a little different. I think I stayed all of 58. I was 6-6 with a poor club in 58, and then next year they traded for a little left-hander that we beat all the time, and they sent me to St. Paul. And I think I won 14 games there, but I should have refused to go. But,
so let me just remind our listeners, you're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. That was Fred Kipp you're listening to, former Dodger and Yankee. We're also here with Rex Hudler, who you know from the Royals broadcasts, but played with a bunch of teams. Hud, you played with six teams in 13 seasons. You're what maybe sometimes is called a journeyman. Was that a good experience? Would you have rather stayed longer in one place?
Oh, like we were just talking about, we have no control. Yeah. I loved it. I was so thankful to play for different organizations. I got to meet people. Shoot, I love people. They all got a great story, but I got to meet the greats of each organization. You know, and I got my 3 years with the Cardinals,
right.
Bob Gibson, you know, Stan Musial, Red Shandies, you know, then one of the Expos, you know, Rusty Staub, and all their great players in their time that they had. You know, Tim Raines and Andre Dawson. And so then on to the Angels, where I got to see Bobby Grich, you know, and all their
what you're saying, it's fun to play with winners and win.
No question.
That's real fun. You know, mentioned Bob Gibson. I played against him and Sadecki from Kansas City, Kansas. 20 years old, is in Omaha. They both threw really hard. And if you didn't get them in the first two or three innings, they just kept throwing harder.
Wow.
And you didn't get them.
Yeah. Now, when you hit, did you hit left-handed?
Yeah.
So did you ever have to face anybody that threw like that?
I don't remember whether I'm sure I probably faced him. I faced Satch Paige.
You did?
Did you?
Yeah.
Satch will give you a lot of arms and legs.
Control. He had control. I hit the ball.
But he was funky, though. He had some windup and delivery, didn't he?
Yeah, but he could throw that ball. He could hit that red button.
I wish we had video of today's interview to see the gesticulations going on in this room right now. So let me ask you, Fred. One of the things we're talking about today is life after your playing days in baseball, because you played a few years. They were good years. You had all these good experiences. In 1960 or so, your playing career was over. What happened? Why was it time to move on?
I was with the Yankees 30 days. They sent me to Richmond, and I played there, counting that year, 3 years. And I was working my way down, and they wanted to pay me what I was worth, and I didn't want to play for that. So,
well, I think you were telling us, what was your all-time high salary in the majors?
$9,500.
$9,500.
Yeah. That's good money back then, though, wasn't it?
What do you call it? Who's the big left-hander for the Dodgers?
Kershaw.
Yeah. He makes more per inning than I made my whole career, sure.
Wow, that's interesting.
But, I mean, hey, I'd do it again.
Would you?
Sure.
Well, what have you been doing since? What have you done since 1960?
I started in insurance a little bit, but I've been in construction for almost 60 years, and I've had ownership in companies probably all but about five or six of those years.
Yeah, so that's a real change. I mean, in baseball, they say your name and thousands of people cheer. You walk onto the construction site, that doesn't happen.
Not much sway from that.
No,
but
it was a great career, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've never been afraid of work. I grew up on a farm. We worked. I worked from the time I was 8 years old, anything I'd had to do, and I remember I had to be there. But that didn't bother me, the work part of it. I always kind of remember the old saying, you need to lose your sweat socks and go to work.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Rex, we've been calling this show Life After Baseball, but of course you haven't really been after baseball. You've stayed in the baseball world in your post-playing years.
Totally blessed by God, no question. But I can tell you that I was mentored by some great players. When I was a young New York Yankee, Dave Winfield was a Hall of Fame player. He was the only guy I ever drafted in three sports, one of the greatest athletes ever of all time. He would let me fly next to him on the airplane, sit next to him. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, kid, get over here. And he would tell me, I was 21, 22. He'd go, you know, kid, there's one thing guaranteed a ball player. What's that, Winnie? He said, you'll be an ex-ball player. And I seen you play. You ain't that good. You may be gone next week. So look, while you're here in the big leagues, you better make sure you keep your eyes open and your ears open looking for opportunities, because, you didn't come out of college, you got nothing to fall back on. So be looking. People who come to these games in New York City or any big league ballpark, they own corporations. Okay, when you're where you're going next, back to the minors, you know those are workers that go and come to those games. So, he really helped me. I knew he was giving me some good advice. Thinking, you know what? So I'm gonna use what I can. At that particular time, I didn't have much, but I had a personality.
Yeah.
And I had character. So I had fun. I loved the media. I loved the fans. I always looking for an opportunity, shaking hands with people, not just for what they can do for me, but being myself. And so I really appreciate Dave Winfield's input on me at the time. Willie Randolph, some really class acts. I know you mentioned those names here in this part of the world. They can't stand the Yankees.
Right.
But look, that's just the way it was. They chose me. I didn't choose them. But the quality of a person and the athlete, but just the human beings, those guys took me under, and they gave me some great advice that had lasted me my whole life and went right into broadcasting after my baseball days.
And you feel like that was because you were watching for opportunities even
Absolutely.
While you were still playing.
And you know, In Major League Baseball, the media is there. They come to you before the game, and they're there after the game. There's never a better opportunity ever because they're there. Now, when you're done, there's no media at home waiting at your front doorstep wanting a word or two, but at the ballpark, they are. So whenever they would put the microphone in front of me, I always used to tell the fans the same thing I tell them now. What a blessing to be a big league ball player.
Yeah.
How fun is this? They pay us good money. We get to go to the best stadiums and best fields, and we get to see all this stuff. It's a blessing. It's so fun. And, you know, that's what fans want. Fans want to all be a ball player, but they don't have the ability to. So why not just share my heart with them? And I keep doing that now each day, so
yeah.
It's really fun.
I mean, when we see you on TV, Rex, you're always holding a baseball.
I know, I got to get it back. Fred, pass that ball over
Fred,
here. I can't
Fred
talk.
Fred took your baseball there. No, yeah, no. You're always holding it when you talk. Do you wish you were still playing the game?
Oh, absolutely. I would love the thing I miss most, Fred, I don't know about you, but for me, I miss running the bases. Man, I loved running the bases. That was so fun. You know, to be blessed with speed was good. I mean, I love that. But Fred, what do you miss most about your playing days?
Well, just to play. I always liked playing the game. It got a little, could be a drag. I played 1 year married, and so I didn't.
What's wrong with that?
I could pick up and go anywhere I wanted to go
before that,
in a
yeah,
hurry.
Yeah.
When we come back from our break, I want to talk a little bit about families too, because I know you're both dealt with that a little bit. You during your playing career, Fred, and you even now still, Rex, being on the road a lot. That's a big part of this. I guess I also want to ask: Did you ever think you would be as successful as happy? The day you left the game, the day you stopped playing, did you think that on some level your life was over?
No, not really. I didn't. I mean, I've never been pessimistic that way. I mean, guys, boy, those were the good old days. I don't go that route. I'm looking to the future. It's good.
Yeah.
Way to go, Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Rex?
Fred's half full like I am.
Yeah?
Yeah. Shoot, are you kidding? What a great opportunity we just had. Now it's time to turn away and, hey, look, let's look ahead and see what's out there, man. There's a lot of fruit. Let's go pick some of it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
Exactly.
Amen. Well, we're going to take a break, but we want to hear from you. What would you ask Fred Kipp and Rex Hudler about life after playing in the big leagues or while they were playing? Maybe you have your own story of transition from the top of your game to something different. How did that work for you? To talk with Fred and with HUD, call us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. You can also tweet your questions. We're at KCURCST. We'd love to hear from you, so stay with us. Central Standard, we'll be right back.
And here at Fox Sports Kansas City, we always comply with the Federal Communications Commission's rule that if you are broadcasting a live sporting event and there is a full moon, you must have at least one shot of that full moon during the game broadcast.
I like that rule. It's a beautiful planet.
Well, it's a moon.
That looks like a planet to me.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's school day at the K. I'm going to go out and see.
Maybe they can cover the whole star, planet, and moon concept.
That might be good. Yeah. I need to be refreshed a little, I guess.
It's Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison in for Gina Kaufman today as we talk about life after playing baseball. We've got Kansas City and Fred Kipp with us, and also, as you just heard, Rex Hudler, the Royals broadcaster and astronomical assault heard along with Ryan Lefevre there on Fox Sports Kansas City last year. Hud, do you want to defend yourself? Here's your chance.
No, I don't need to defend myself. Hey, look, they were showing me that thing. It's covered the whole screen. I'm looking at it, and you know, sometimes what's a little bit scary for me and the listeners is that some stuff just comes out. What I'm thinking, it just comes out. And I was thinking, wow, that's a beautiful planet. It looked like, for that moment, it looked like a planet because I'm staring at it. And, you know, that's just part of it. When you got a small brain like mine, Fred, sometimes when you're talking 3 hours in a baseball game, stuff comes out that maybe you'd like to have back, but you know that you can't bring it back because it's live.
Well, I mean, and Rex, I mean, to some degree, this is kind of your shtick, right? I mean, you say stuff.
Well, I've been honored, and I've been told, but I've been very flattered that some people think that I've got some Dizzy Dean in me, a little bit of that country thing, and so very flattered whenever I heard that. I'm nowhere in his league, but I do have a little bit of that country thing in me and a little bit of ball player in me. You know, he's going to say it like it is, Fred.
Fred, after you left the game, did you find that people expected you to be able to spout wisdom and say smart things about baseball?
Not too much. I played a couple years semi-pro ball afterwards. Okay. I went down to Wichita. We won the state tournament and the national tournament. And the guys on the Alaskan team was Tom Seavers and Greg Nettles.
Really?
On that Alaska team. They were in college at the time. We whipped them, though.
Way to go.
We had a few old pros.
Oh, good.
And they were real young, but really talented ballplayers, obviously.
Tom Seavers, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Way to go. That's pretty interesting.
So, Fred, you were asked, as we heard at the very beginning of the show today, to come back and throw the first pitch out at a Dodgers game. How close have you stayed to the team in the years since you were playing?
We follow the Dodgers. We went out for the 50th anniversary in 08, mm-hmm. and then they had us back again in 09 because they had won the pennant. And I was a small part of that team. I didn't play in the series, but I was a small part of that team. So we was invited back out there, and I've been to a couple signings on Long Island and New Jersey, and I think one in L.A. But all those fans from my era, most of them are gone, and most of the players.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not much demand for whatever they wanted us for, signing memorabilia or whatever it might be.
You know, Fred, I'm curious. You look at the game today. We've talked about some of the ways it's different. I mean, it's different in a lot of ways. Does it feel like a different game, though, or does it still feel like when you watch a baseball game on TV or when you go out to a game, you say, I did that. Does it still feel like it's your game?
Oh, it's still the same thing. You run, you throw, you hit, you catch, and it's just a different approach to it. The money's totally different, and everything is out of proportion. I guess probably TV and radio control a big part of the game.
Yeah.
But it's I don't even know if I would have got a chance to play today. I mean, my 85-hour I never had my fastball measured, but 85 may not cut it to even get a chance.
Wow. It's interesting to think how different the world is now. Rex, do you ever have that thought? You look back and say, would I have been the same player today that I was then?
The game changes every single day. Yeah, and my years were 80s and 90s. You know, I was fortunate to play two decades, and it's changed even from then. Nowadays, I mean, back then, you know, if you threw 90, 92, that was a good fastball.
Right.
Now everyone throws 95. Rarely do you see a guy throwing 88 to 92. We'll call that guy a thumber now. He's called a thumber. So, the guys are bigger, stronger. They're, you know, the training facilities are better. The technology's better. So, sure, it's going to change. But it sure is fun, man. It's big league baseball.
816-235-2888 is the number to call if you want to talk with Rex Hudler and Fred Kipp. 816-235-2888. That's what Howard did. He's from Overland Park. Howard, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'd like to ask Fred, your young teammate then, the young Sandy Koufax, was it apparent to you that he was headed for superstardom? And secondly, what was it like playing for Walter Alston? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Sandy Koufax, great talent, man. You play catch with him, that ball would jump. Threw right over the top. He was about 6'1 or 2. I'm 6'4. He had as much reach as I did. And his hands were probably an inch longer than mine. But I remember my old roommate, Don Demeter, with the Dodgers. He got traded to the Phillies. He says, man, you got to face him. And he got that fastball, but he says, man, that curveball was something else. It drove about 3 feet straight down. I mean, when he was on, he was a talent. I mean, I think Bob Feller called him the best pitcher in baseball at that time. I played with him in 58. He was going good till about August. He sprained his ankle. Yeah. And he wasn't any good the rest of the year. But, man, I don't think anybody beat him very easy thereafter till he retired. He quit at 32 in about 65, I think.
Wow.
He was a talent, though. I mean, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to see that he could play ball.
You know, I just to stop here, I kind of love the way, Fred, that when you start talking about when you were playing in the late 50s, it sounds like you're talking about stuff that happened yesterday. I try to think if I actually could talk with that level of passion and clear memory about things that I did in my mid-20s, which was not quite as long ago as your mid-20s were, and I don't think I could remember it this way. It really made an impression on you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I loved it. I loved playing.
What was Walter Alston like?
In his younger days, nobody fooled around with him. He was strong. He would take you on if you challenged him. He was that,
physically?
Yes.
Nice.
I mean, Walter Alston was the manager of the Yankees at that time?
Yeah.
Right.
I remember Carl Erskine told me one time, he said, he took over the club, and they had about, well, I mean, how many Hall of Famers were on there? I don't know, but there were about 10 All-Stars on there, and I guess they were losing. Erskine said he'd come in and said, I see I got about 5 All-Stars here. I'm not seeing it. End of meeting.
Wow. That's a commanding judgment from your manager. Yeah, well,
he was tough. I mean, well, I wouldn't say he was tough. He put up with guys like Charlie Dreschen and Drozier. I don't know how he did that. The Dodgers hired those guys because they were totally different personalities. I don't know if you ever, Drozier, and when he was managing, he'd be over there stick it in his ear, you know, to everybody. But different motivation.
Sure.
Different way of managing. Sure. But, he didn't do too bad. I think he was there on one-year contracts for 24 years, something like that.
Let's take another call from John in Shawnee. He called us at 816-235-2888. John, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Question. Well, I've just got a quick question. For Rex, you're awfully fun to listen to, and your partner that you came over from the Angels with, Steve Fizioc. Grew up with him, traded baseball cards with him, and to an extent, earlier in your conversation, you said you just got to get out and play. You know, that's about as far as we went. We played, and it was fun, but. What do you think of Steve? I think he's one of the better talents. I've listened to baseball games broadcast from Kansas City A's days, Monty Moore and through Fred White and up to today. Steve's a great man. I think I'd like to hear you comment on him.
Oh, thank you, John, for that opportunity to share about my partner. He broke me in the game. Hey, what an ultimate professional broadcaster Steve Fizioc is. And, of course, Ryan Lefever as well. And the other guys that I get to work with, Denny and Steve Stewart. But Fizz is so happy. He's easy to work with. John, I know that you know him. He's probably like that when he was a youngster as well. But I got in the broadcasting booth in 99, coming right off the field with the Philadelphia Phillies from 98. And obviously, the Angels were desperate for a broadcaster just like the Royals were when they called me.
You're being modest.
But listen, I didn't have any lessons or nothing. They threw me right in that broadcast booth, and Fizz made me feel comfortable. He told me right away, Rex or HUD, you know, they call me HUD, my job is to make you a star. And I went, what? come on, man. Shoot, I wasn't a star when I played ball. Wasn't even near one. And he goes, no. So that told me about Fizz's his ego. He didn't have a big ego. You know, just a broadcaster to bring the story to the people. Let me tell the story, Hud. I'll tell you where he's from, all that. And then you just tell me why and how the play happened. That's your job. You're a color commentator. So, you know, I'd go on and do my thing. It came pretty natural because I got a pretty good idea after playing that long in the game about how, you know, different players play in different positions. But so whenever there was always a piece of paper in between both of us, and he would write down why. Why did that play happen, Hud? He'd write it. He didn't say it, so no one would know that. He'd write why and how. And so I would be explaining, and then I would see him write that term, the word down. I'd go, and this is why he did it.
Yeah.
So, you know, he helped me learn the business of color commentating. And in 11 years I got with him there in Anaheim. We won a World Series. We went to numerous playoffs. It was so fun. Yeah. And coming to the ballpark and working with somebody that's happy, that's in a good mood every day. I mean, baseball is already fun, and people in Kansas City want to know why I was like I was, why I was always so happy.
You're playing with a winner.
Right. That helps a lot, too. But still, it's Major League Baseball, Fred. And so Fizz is easy to come to work and work with him, John. But
I'm talking about him.
Yeah.
He's a winner, too.
Fizziok is, no question. And so it makes it fun. How about his voice? He has a golden voice, Steve Fizziok. He's great on radio. That's why they have him there a lot. And then he'll come over and do 20, 30 games on TV. But absolutely love Fizz. He's like a brother to me.
Yeah, that's great. It's fun to get a little glimpse behind the curtain there, too, what's going on in the booth. I want to talk a little bit more about what you do, Rex, when you're not in the booth, because I know you do some motivational speaking. Who do you speak to?
Anyone that calls.
Anybody who wants to listen.
Right, because, you know, baseball and life, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, what's your message? I mean,
I like to share teamwork. I like to share teamwork. I like to share. I was really blessed to play for four Hall of Fame managers in my career and play for some of the greatest. And they all, like you were talking about, Fred, have a different style of management. Yogi Berra had a different style of management than Buck Rogers. Billy Martin and Earl Weaver were similar. They both high-strung, high-different guys. So I'd like to share with businesses and people who manage people about how these guys managed me and what worked and what didn't work. And I like to talk about body language and how in baseball that's the premium language spoken. And you can say a lot by not saying one word by the way you're carrying yourself. And Billy Martin would walk across the floor of the clubhouse, and you know we're all in that room together, and you knew when the manager was coming, and you'd see him, and you could tell by the way he walked, you could tell by the way he looked, if he was in a good mood or a bad mood. Didn't have to say a word, and sometimes when he had his fist clenched and he was storming through the room, you were going, uh-oh, we're in trouble today. Never said a word. So those are the kind of things I like to share. Young people, I like to share with the work ethic, how hard it takes. Nothing's for free in this world. I like to talk about how my mom raised me to shake hands firmly, look them in the eye. I got to meet George Steinbrenner. I was his bonus baby, so they flew me to New York. And after our first impression, he liked me because I shook his hand. I looked at him. I said, yes, sir, no, sir. So I like to share with young people about the importance of first impressions and how you carry yourself. So it's really fun to be able to share life. And as I exchanged my Notre Dame education into a worldly degree, baseball and surviving in the world and all the failure that's involved with baseball, I learned a lot about myself and how to handle failure, basically.
Yeah, you mentioned Billy Martin. I played for Billy Martin at Goodland, Kansas.
You did?
He was in what's the base in Colorado Springs? Fort Carson, I think.
Yes.
Fort Carson. He got weekends off, and I was just getting out of the Army going to school, and I joined his club and pitched in the state tournament with him.
Wow. Serious? He was
the manager.
Was he a little feisty then, too?
Oh, yeah. I remember there's an old guy for the Boeing had a big two teams, the Bo Jets and the older guys. He says, this guy can't handle your fastball. You need to fastball him.
Wow.
I like it.
So baseball's big, big, small world, even back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Fred, I wonder. I mean, you heard kind of what Rex would tell a group of kids or adults as he gives them some motivation. As you think back on your both your career in baseball and your career after baseball, what's the advice you'd give to a group of people? Let's say a young person who's thinking about their future.
Playing ball, you mean?
Sure, playing ball.
Like we said earlier, you play. I mean, you don't strengthen your arm by sitting down. You strengthen it by throwing. You pitch, you play, you practice. There aren't probably a handful of guys in the big leagues that don't have to practice. There's a few that are gifted, but not very many.
And how about if they're not going to play baseball? Is there something that you learned from playing baseball and then having life after it that you would tell them is important?
Well, I guess, if you still like to play, you can play it for fun, but you probably need to go to work if you don't want to. I mean, if it's fun to you, hey, play. But if it's not, you're not going to make any money out of it, go to work.
How would you be a different person, Fred, if you hadn't had the chance to play Major League Baseball?
Gosh, I don't know. I played basketball and baseball for 35 years, probably. Not that long. I quit when I was 32, but I played basketball in college, high school, college, Army, and baseball the same way.
Rex, how old are your kids?
I have a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 18-year-old, and 21-year-old.
All right, so they're starting to be at the place of making life decisions. Would you want to see them go into pro sports?
Not particularly. I stress college. College is a must. That's what my kids are going to do. You're going to go to college. You're going to do this. And if that's a byproduct of luck, fortune, that whole thing, if you're going to continue into that, you must educate yourself. And my passion came early. I knew what I wanted to do when I was in the fifth grade. The sooner a young person finds their passion, the better off they are. Put something out there. You know, and put your goal out there. You got to have a goal. Set it now, and it's going to be a little bit easier getting to it the sooner you find out. And then, you know, you got to work hard. You have to have the ability to work. You have to want to work. You have to have passion. You got to go for it and realize that in order to be the best in the world and you want to make the most money, it's going to take work.
Yeah.
So if you're afraid of work, man, you're in trouble.
Hey, this has been a fantastic conversation. What fun to have you both here. I want to thank both my guests, Fred Kipp, former Dodger and Yankee, and Rex Hudler, now the Royals broadcaster. It has been good to be with both of you. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate being here with you.
When Central Standard returns, we'll take a look at another sport, maybe not yet America's game, but certainly on the rise. Meet Missouri's top archer and her hopes for the future. Stay tuned.